Is it on? No. Yes? Okay. So, second half of the halftime advertising. The book last year I had it live and on stage. Now this year I could send you upstairs to the offices of some students who have the book. The nice news is we finally managed to have a page for the book, and there is one chapter which is changing every month. So if you thought about you would like to see the book but you didn't want to buy it because you want to see what's in the book, this month we have chapter 13 online, which is the big chapter on elliptic curves given different speeds, different coordinate systems, and so on. So go there, have a look, and if you find typos, most of you will have found the typo. It's not that I would offer money like Knuth does. It's just the first edition, so I believe that there are typos. And please send us an email, or send me an email, and we'll put an errata online, just that if somebody else finds a typo, well, I think the typos which are just in the language are not bad, but the typos which are mathematical typos, which I myself, this is just a typo, might cause a grad student some serious headache because he might think the book is right, whereas it is not. So please let us know if you find a mistake. Now, part two. Let's have a look at the opponents. Here we have elliptic curve and hyperelliptic curve. Already in fighting position, they did some transformation, so the plus and minus sign changed, but it's all isomorphic, so. And we have the friends, all on the side of hyperelliptic. Well, there are some false friends. We don't like that guy, the guy with the note there. So it's already late in the conference, and so you've seen definitions. I'm repeating the definition of a hyperelliptic curve. So if you look at the hyperelliptic curve of genus G, then you have the form y squared plus some h of x, y equals f of x. And I'm considering the case of odd degree f. So there's also the other, the real quadratic function fields. Sorry guys, we're here in a fight and we are out for speed. So step back and, okay, so we are working in the divisor class group. Isabelle Duchesne was telling you about the divisor class group and was saying, making sure that you stay awake before lunch. And then Andreas Engel was talking to you about the divisor class group and making sure that you stay awake. No, I'm not going to show you the divisor class group. I'm going to show you advertisement. If you haven't understood what the divisor class group is, buy the book. And, well, for our purposes, it's important that you can represent each element of the divisor class group uniquely by a reduced divisor. A reduced divisor is a sum of points where at most g points, so m is less than, where's the pointer? Where m is less than g. And those points, well, if I have a point, then I don't have the involution of that point, so I have some unique way. And each class can be represented like this. If you haven't seen divisor classes because you were sleeping throughout the other lectures, this is what a divisor class looks like. And usually we don't like to work with points because these points might have coordinates in larger fields, and so we go for the Mumford representation, which is a nice compact encoding of the points appearing by just taking the U polynomial to be having roots at each of the x coordinates of the points appearing and the y coordinate. Well, an easy expression for this is y of xi equals yi, v of xi equals yi. But it might be that a point occurred with higher multiplicity, and so we have to take into account the higher derivative. And if you're more familiar with function fields, then the ideal generated by u and by y minus v, this is a way to represent ideal classes. And each ideal class can be represented by u of degree at most g and by v satisfying this condition of degree less than the degree of u. Now, we have Cantor giving a general formulas, giving composition and reduction steps. So if you look at this, then we know that u and v are just polynomials over the field we're looking at. And what you see is, yeah, you can give this to a student to implement. You have NTL on your computer, so you just say, well, you know, GCD and division and so on. Just implement it. And, well, if the student gets still here, then he has a semi-reduced divisor. The degrees are still too large. That is, you multiply the two ideal classes, reduce it to two representatives, but don't apply the reduction due to the ideal classes yet. That's the last step where we use that we know that u divides a certain expression here, and that will eventually, after some looping, reduce the degree of u to be less than the genus. Now, we can work on hyperelliptic curves, and so hyperelliptic curves were proposed for cryptography by Neil Koblitz in the first journal of cryptography, H2. And, well, then some brave people implemented this stuff. And it looked quite bad for poor elliptic curves. Performance of hyperelliptic curves sucks. It really does not look good for hyperelliptic curves. And the next instruction came, oh yeah, elliptic curve. Score, hyperelliptic curves are gone. What instruction results? Oh, I should forgot to count. Definitely a strike on this side. So, more strikes. People looked at the security. We have seen index calculus attacks. Now here's the whole family of starting with Edelman, Demarin, Huang, saying, oops, we can do index calculus on hyperelliptic curves. And, well, from here, people thought, okay, if you're below genus 10, then things should be fine. And then there was Thierry Gaudry with the thesis and Andreas Engel with the thesis and the joint work. And it just keeps on. Then there's Nicolas Thériault with a single large prime and the double large prime. And now there's also other curves are dying. So, wow. How many papers did I just have? 10? Doesn't look good. And from those results, you just heard Nicolas saying that genus 4 might be acceptable. Just looking at it at the asymptotics, what most people did, it looks like, well, everything larger or equal to genus 4 is dead. No use in them. Genus 3, well, there people will leave. Yes, we can look at the constant, and yes, for cryptographic sizes it might be useful, but that's about it. So, well, we lose some friends here. We lose behind genus curves, out. Let's hope that this guy is just genus 3. It's unclear by the way he looks. And so, game over. Have you stopped counting? He said we're now in the box fight, so you have to start like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Any hope? There is some hope. Robert Harley was doing point counting. So even if curves are not interesting for cryptography, it might be interesting to be able to compute the number of points. It's just a nice algorithmic number theory problem. And so he was working with Pierre Gaudry on the point counting formulas. And, well, if you do point counting, you also need arithmetic of points or of hyperelliptic curves. And he was just annoyed by the slow speed. And then he realized, wait a second, Cantor was working for arbitrary genus. So it also should work for genus 1. But nobody's using Cantor for genus 1. And if you try to use Cantor for genus 1, your formulas become that big. Why are we doing this for genus 2 if we know we're working with genus 2? And he knew perfectly where he was not only working just with genus 2, he was working just with genus 2, just with one prime field, and, well, just with a few selected curves, well, hoping that those will have a good number of points. But each time he was starting his algorithm, he knew what the curve would look like, and at least he knew that he could do some isomorphic transformations. And so, going back to Cantor would require me loading some more pages, and they're kind of slow, so just visualize Cantor. There were all these multiplication of polynomials and all divisions of polynomials, and we know in advance that those divisions are exact. That means we don't need the low-order coefficients of the polynomial we're going to divide later on. So we can save the computation of those. That saved quite a few operations. And then, okay, Karatsuba, well-known tricks, but haven't been applied before on hyperelliptic curves. And at some point, you need to compute the inverse of one polynomial, not the other one. And there are some tricks to apply. Certainly, out of the general Cantor, input, output, no case distinction. Every case distinction is just done by the GCD computation. We now have to consider, wake up. We're in a fight here. Okay. In elliptic curves, we're used to having formulas for addition and different formulas for doubling. So sure, for genus 2, we have the same. Actually, we have a few more cases because it might be that some of the points in the dividers cancel out. So if I add those two classes, and they both have the same point in the representation, we have to pay attention. Or even more, if this point happens to be the opposite of that one, then doesn't mean that the whole divisor class is the opposite of the other one. So a bit more work, but eventually, that's a huge group of people who came to rescue pure hyperelliptic curve after Nigel smashed it so badly. So now people said, well, maybe there is something. Maybe we can get it, maybe not neat elliptic curves, but at least get speeds which is not so slow. And so Robert Hawley was the first, and he published code for odd characteristics since he was doing point counting. And then I looked into this because I was doing forbidden Corbett's curves and wanted to have a fair comparison. On the one hand side doing Frobenius, and on the other hand side doing most general Cantor, didn't feel right. And then a group of Japanese, two groups actually at the same conference, realized that there is Montgomery's trick of joint inversion, and they managed to get the two inversions which we're still using, one up here in the code, one down there in the code, managed to combine those to one inversion, which came with another huge speed up, at least after some modification. I mean, if you combine something up here with something down there, you have to somewhat work with delayed inversions for this whole part. But in the end, we're now kind of happy with what we have here. These are the general cases. The Lange-Stevens case is going to appear later on the slides again. And then people a bit later started working on the same. So you realize those names had success up here, so they tried again. And Jan Pelfer was giving a talk here on special hardware, was writing his diploma thesis on this back in Bochum with Thomas Wollinger, who I forgot to mention here. And then from Toronto, Kumamurti students. And there's more support. Okay, I said already point counting was interesting anyway. So point counting was just a nice problem which we want to look at. And also the CM method. So those are happy to motivate their work by saying, hey, we're good for cryptographic applications. So they didn't mind that hyperelliptic curves look kind of... Is it over? Are we doing fine again? We also see Nigel here. Suddenly Nigel does something positive for hyperelliptic curves. Nigel does something nice. He gives us a compression method, which means, okay, we can actually put hyperelliptic curves on small devices. And, well, there's also some destructive part in there, so it's not too surprising Nigel's there. He still hasn't changed his opinion. And, well, Anne Great writes a thesis, which was with a German title, so it's about constructing CM curves. And then the latest speed record and point counting, Dan already mentioned it, is for cryptographically nice sizes, so we're reaching 164-bit group sizes. That's something where most people still feel comfortable, at least in the standards. Okay, Dan, or NSA, 512 bits. Sorry, we're not there yet, but it's coming. So where are we? A general doubling on a genus 2 curve still needs one inversion, 22 multiplications, and 5 squaring. The stuff that Dan was talking about was on special hyperelliptic curves. On a general hyperelliptic curve where we can't do anything else, where we can't fix the characteristic, that can be odd characteristic, can be even characteristic, that's what it takes. So, just comparing genus 1 to genus 2, because genus 2 has been looked at more than genus 3, for instance, and starting with something Dan just really doesn't like, just saying, okay, factor 3, well, if it fails with a factor of 3, then it might not work at all. Okay, so let's assume a factor 3 between the two fields. We have a genus 1 curve, and we have the genus 2 curve. The genus 1 curve needs twice the large field size. So we can hope that the arithmetic in the elliptic curve is 3 times as expensive as on the genus 2 curve side. This is neglecting all function calls, everything. It's a very rough estimate. And so the comparison is, if one inversion in the big field is less or more or equally expensive to one inversion in the small field and 50 multiplications in that small field. Oof. So we have a lot of dependency here. It depends on the ratio of multiplication to inversion. It depends on how accurate this factor of 3 is. I've been saying multiplications and squarings are the same. So now, this is not nice. And so I sat down in my work and said, okay, let's do implementation. Let's do quick implementation. Let's use GMP. GMP took forever. in the sense of, okay, if I looked at what it really did for me and what it did for function calls, then the work for me was quite negligible. And so since elliptic curves have fewer operations, fewer requests than hyperelliptic curves didn't look too good, and the same with NGL. And then Roberto came to rescue and said, well, we need something. We don't want to use general software. We want to do something proper. And so at CHESS, this is just a quote from the paper, he sat down and did a hand-tailored library for the sizes we want to use. So not GMP, where the field sizes we work with are tiny, but really the fields we want to see. And also the different sizes. So he has a hand-tailored implementation for genus 2, a hand-tailored implementation for genus 1, and the different field sizes. So he gets a nice big table at the end of his work, also considering genus 3. And, okay, nice work. It's much closer to the performance of elliptic curves. I am almost tempted to run over there till I then read difference is about 14 or 15% respectively. That is, well, we are getting close, but round one, we see elliptic curve, general elliptic curve on place one, genus two. Exhausted after the race, but sorry, general elliptic curves just don't give as much as you hope for. Round two. Could you have a ding? Just as somebody's... Round two. Let's have a closer look. Now it's just over the reels, so I have trouble drawing the picture where the right-hand side of an elliptic curve has no root. I mean, it just doesn't happen about the over the reels. And the same for the genus 2. So in principle, for genus 1, we have three types. We have the type where we have three real roots, where we have one real root, and then, okay, we also have the case where we don't have any K rational root, whatever K is. And for hyperelliptic curves, well, this is just the genus 2 example, and again, the case with no root is missing. I could have drawn something like this, but it's a very weird picture. That means we have different. It's not just genus 1 and genus 2, it's not the general cases. And you've just seen a fight between Montgomery versus the Chudnovsky brothers and Pierre Gaudry, executed by Dan. And that was one of the special cases. It was a special case of elliptic curves, namely with Montgomery arithmetic holds, versus a special case of genus 2, namely with those formulas holds. It is not that a normal, just garden variety elliptic curve would be transferable to Montgomery form. It is not the case that a general hyperelliptic curve is automatically transferable to the Kumar, Gaudry, Chudnovsky, whatever form. But if you're willing to say, well, I just want one curve, I just want to have the fastest curve, which is still secure, then I'm allowed to go for special choices. And then I have just many more choices in the hyperelliptic case than in the elliptic case. Elliptic curves over a field form a one parameter family. For genus 3, for genus 2, I have three parameters. For genus 3, I've got five, and it's just growing. Now, too large genus is bad. So let's just look, and, well, we hope to find efficient and secure families. And what Pierrick has been doing, and now confirmed by Dan, I mean, it's good that Dan sat down, because, you know, no, somebody would publish results. I mean, Pierrick has results in his paper, and Pierrick is not doing the factor 3 approximation. He has a nice code in there, but he wouldn't believe it anyway. I mean, he has to beat himself. Only then it works. So actually, I forgot to mention, yes, we have now here at least one approved by Dan. And so we can hope for similar things. This was the prime case. We want prime characteristic, so let's get the best curves in prime characteristic. The other cases, we might want binary fields. We might want to do hardware implementation. Or we just interest. I mean, for me, it's partial academic interest. I just want to see what is in there for binary curves. And that's a field where we see even more choices. For instance, we can classify the curves according to the degree of this polynomial H. depending on what the degree of age is, we have a different two rank, meaning this interpolates between, okay, age is zero, that is a singular curve. That's not a hyperplane tube, that's out. But age constant is super singular. Age of degree one has two rank one, that's not generic. An ordinary curve has two rank two. So the degree of age directly shows something about the structure of the curve. As just in terms of cofactor, okay, this means a cofactor of 2, this means a cofactor, so degree 2 for H means cofactor of 2 or 4, depending on whether H is reducible or not. I mean, we don't care about a cofactor that small, it just reduces a bit. It's more interesting to look, what does it mean for the security? Well, if you have any ideas what it means for the security, Peter, can you raise your hand? He's the person to talk to because that's his topic. So if you're a nice person, then talk to him. If you're not a person, then say, ha, I do it myself, but please be a nice person. What can we do to motivate Peter to look at the security? Why could it be interesting to study this special case, H has degree 1? Well, we can find out that those curves are fast, and it turns out those curves are really fast. We can always transform it with isomorphic transformation to this shape, and since we want to avoid Verdi descent and other stuff, we're often going for prime degrees of extension, certainly for odd degrees. And then we obtain that h1 is 1, so we have just y squared plus xy. And on the right-hand side, we have x to the 5, f3. Then f2 is a special choice from the ground field, and f0 is general again. So this is not the most general form. Usually, after isomorphic transformation, we expect 3 free parameter. We only have 2 here. But there's a joint work with Mark Stevens at SEC 2004, where we show that we can get very fast arithmetic, and fast arithmetic in this case means fast doubling. If you do a scalar multiplication, we can control the number of additions by doing pre-computations. We never reduce the number of doublings. And just, again, a short snippet, you see by the increase in font size that this must be faster. You couldn't read the first one. Okay, down here, you see that the fastest case where h1 is 1, so we have y squared plus xy equals something, that there we just need one inversion, 6 squarings and 5 multiplications, compared to one inversion, 22 multiplication and 5 squarings. So it's gotten much, much faster, and that was clearly visible in the speeds. I mean, we did implementations just using NTL. Remember, NTL is punishing hyperelliptic curves more than elliptic curves, and we're able to beat elliptic curves. So we went for this family of hyperelliptic curves. We're willing to give elliptic curves whatever they want. So they could have subfield curves, okay. But they couldn't have the Frobenius, for instance. So we tried to play fair. If we would use the Frobenius on the elliptic curves, on the hyperelliptic curve side, okay, then we're with Corbett's curves, and that's a different area. So playing with normal double and add mechanisms, the implementation for genus 2 was much faster than with genus 1. Ha! Score! And it's fair. I mean, we have no case of elliptic curve which would be between supersingular and ordinary. Either we should go for ordinary, and then the fastest is Lopez-Dahab coordinates, and that's what we compare with, or we go for genus 2. And there we have the choice between the different cases. And then a recent preprint, I heard it was submitted already, by Roberto Nicola and Zheng Wang, considers the similar stuff for genus 3 and genus 4. Now, if you look at the genus 2 case, you might be scared of not seeing an X here. In the genus 2 case, it will be super singular. In genus 3, it's just fine. And for genus 4, well, one has to pay attention. There is some condition, F4 has to be non-zero. So those are, again, very special. Those are not ordinary. Those don't have full 2 rank. It's interesting to look at the security. It might be that those curves die at some point. But for the moment, they feel like a family which is very, very fast. Well, very fast comes on the next slide. So let's see how the story continues, and I should really change the timing of my screensaver. So in the paper, they look at implementation, and if you know the authors, and you know that they went through all the details, they just didn't start with NTL. No, no, no. We would not start with a general purpose library. We start with binary fields. So there is a tailored characteristic tree library trying to increase the pressure on the authors to put things online. That's a way to smile. So results are genus 4 and genus 1 are about the same, which is already surprising because genus 4 looked much slower earlier. Genus 3 and genus 2 are similar and faster than genus 1. Yeah, gotcha. So little party on the genus 2, genus 3 curve side. And so what else is in there? We might look for, well, I motivated characteristic 2 also by saying hardware. Now in hardware, you usually don't want to implement an inverter. And if you replace an inversion by using little Fermat theorem, then you end up using quite a few multiplications and squareins, and you don't want that. So let's look for inversion-free coordinates. And at least for genus 2, they are out. There is a general paper on genus 3 projective coordinates, but nothing yet on the special cases. It's also the question, the larger the genus, the smaller the field size gets. At some point, it might be worthwhile to put an inverter there. So not sure that I would put a student on genus 3. But for genus 2, characteristic 2, we have inversion-free formulas, with the fastest one being the recent coordinates with some funny, looking like Lopez-Dahab, except for, well, we now have four of them. And up here, the mixed coordinates look a bit like Chudnovsky, except for, well, oops, there's a Z2 as well. Whereas in Chudnovsky, whereas in Jacobian, we only have one Z, not two of them. What else do we have on the elliptic curve side, which is often brought as a speed up, which we didn't have on the genus 2 side? Well, halvings is one of those things which one wants to have in the bag. And so there was a group of Japanese authors looking at, can we actually do halving? Is it possible to do halving on genus 2 curves? And what they showed to me is more like a proof of concept. Yes, it works. It is highly inefficient, but it works. So if you're desperate to halve a curve, if you're desperate to halve a point, and okay, if your next best thing would be to take the point and compute times this mod L, 1 over 2 mod L, and use the scalar multiplication, then halvings will be faster. So if you're desperate to have a halving, then their approach is faster. However, that was before the fast doubling. That was still in the age of the general doubling formulas. So before this paper with Mark Stevens. And so this year, my student Peter sat down and was unreachable for a few days, then came back with a headache like this and a few pages paper, and I was very much reminded of the time when I was sitting down doing explicit formulas. And so he was working out halving. And he worked out halving and got a paper at SAC for that. So those of you who have been at SAC know much more of this. So the explanation is basically take the doubling formulas and turn them head down and then try to trace back and try to remove operations as much as possible. Now, halvings depend on the ability to compute square roots and to compute half traces and traces. Those operations are nice in normal basis implementations. They are not nice in polynomial basis. I mean, sure, a square root is not as painful as the same multiplication or so, but it's still painful. It's not as fast as the squaring. In normal basis, okay, it would be left shift, right shift, no problem. In a polynomial basis, and that's all we could do for, or he could do for implementation, since most libraries just don't support a proper normal basis implementations, it still looks slower. But there is at least much improvement. So comparing his case over the Japanese case, even over the special Japanese case, which they have in a preprint, it's a huge speed up. So we're getting close to elliptic curve situation where we have, well, if you want to do a halving, you can do a halving. You might not want to do it in polynomial basis. And okay, normal basis might be nice. So, short intermediate, genus 2 can be very fast in special families. Round 3. Thank you. Round 3 is about more special application, special edition. So what we've been using so far was round one, general elliptic versus general hyperelliptic. Didn't look good. Round two was, well, we allow special choices of the curves. Round three is, we have not used yet what our elements look like. We have used that the curve might be special. We have not used what the divisors look like. So far, having the case distinction in the explicit formulas is kind of hindering. It is not so nice that you always have to check, oops, is my input degenerate? Does it have a lower degree? Let's turn it upside down. Let's take this as an advantage. Let's look what happens in the case distinction if we happen to meet that the first input has degree 1 in the genus 2 case, and only the second input has degree 2. That's a special case which appears with probability 1 over Q, where Q is your field size, and usually would say, okay, somebody can guess my discrete logarithm with probability 1 over Q squared. This happens with probability 1 over Q. Well, it doesn't happen. So, unless you're doing a very careful implementation, you might even be tempted to skip that step. And just doing it, running it in cryptographic sizes, it's very unlikely that you run into this step. So seeing, oh, it's only 10 multiplication instead of the general 22, doesn't buy you much because you won't use it. Unless you force it to happen. And that was pointed out, always have trouble with reading out Japanese names. I hope that nobody is mad at me now for not reading out Japanese names and just saying it's a group of Japanese authors. The slides will be online, so if you want to find the paper, it's easy to find it. These people suggested, well, force that we end up in this special case. Just put the base divisor class to be a degenerate class. Force that the base class has just one point in the support if you go for the divisor class representation. That means if you do our normal double and add operation, that the intermediate results are always in the full degree. And then we do an addition, then we're in the special case of full degree plus reduced degree, which we know is faster. So previously we had saved in the doublings, now we can save in the additions. And I got this paper and felt like, well, I know from experiments that those classes usually are those which have a cofactor of 2 in their order. We want prime orders, so we don't want this, and it's unlikely to happen, but okay, it was out and inspiring. So why not use it somewhere else? And so, for instance, there's a Tate pairing. And you've seen the Tate pairing on elliptic curves here. I've been writing down now in the general case of hyperelliptic curves, so with the Jacobian. Then we have the pairing between the L torsion points. And as second input, we have, in the proper definition, not the L torsion points, but classes. The Jacobian modulo L times the Jacobian, which, in most cases where we look at, because L squared doesn't divide the group order, which is usually isomorphic to the L torsion points, but we don't need to use this isomorphism. What we thought about is, well, here, that gives us a class, and if you have a class, you can always look for a good representative. Let's look first how this is defined in the setting of hyperelliptic curves. So again, we find a function f sub d1, so that L times d1 is linear equivalent to the divisor of f d1. And then we take the divisor 2 by sum d2, so sum representing divisor of the class d2 bar, and have the addition that the supports have to be disjoint, and then just evaluate the function f sub d1 at the points of d2. So what does the Miller-Light step look like here? We have our divisor of, well, usually coming in g points. Now it has to have disjoint support with d1, so we are not allowed to have minus g times the point infinity here, which we usually would have. So we have to shift the negative part away from infinity. And now we have some positive part and some negative part of this divisor. And, well, the second class, let me go back one slide. The second class is always coming from the extension field. For the first one, we can restrict to FQ. We don't need to work in FQ to the K. So we can work in the subgroup, as we usually do in protocols. But those points, those are coming from the big field. And also with the implementation tricks which you've seen for elliptic curves, that you can say, okay, the x coordinate comes from the smaller field and the y coordinate and so on, they're still somewhat big. And now we have to evaluate this function f at generically 2g points. And furthermore, it's even worse in the elliptic curve case. It can be that they're from an extension field. The fact that the divisor class is defined over f2 to the k does not mean that the points, the individual points appearing in the support, are defined over that. They can be from an extension field. So we're working with rather big elements here. Okay, there have been people who changed the formulation of the Tate pairing so that you can work with the polynomial instead of the points, so this last node is not so bad. But, well, one could do better. One can go for special choices. For instance, one can use those degenerate divisors. One can say, I would like to use only those classes which have a representative as point minus point infinity, or then Mengel to point minus another point. And, well, this is not possible in the Jacobian. But, well, do we get enough if we take the Jacobian modulo L times the Jacobian, talking of those classes? Not divisor classes, but classes modulo L times. So divide the class group. It has been used since almost the beginning of pairings on hyperelliptic curves. So Dursma and Lee were one of the first papers on hyperelliptic curves, Tate pairing on hyperelliptic curves, and they just use one point. After that, this knowledge got a bit lost, and people said, well, they are just showing how it works on one point because one can trivially generalize it to 2G points. Partly true, they don't give any reasoning why it's should be fine to evaluate just at one point, but they do it anyway, and it's therefore much faster than the general with 2G points. So, at a paper at ANTS, Gerd Frey and I looked at, do we always find such a degenerate divisor? And the task, do you give me class, make me find such a degenerate divisor? No. I don't know how to do this. If you know, we would be glad, and it would be very interesting to see that. It's also not clear that each and every class contains one. But what we can show is that the Tate pairing is non-degenerate, and that with sufficiently high probability, we have enough different classes. So if we use as a second argument the cryptographic protocols just the degenerate divisors, we reach enough classes out of the Jacobian modulo L times the Jacobian. Now, how to apply this? We went through some protocols and said, okay, this is how it goes. What we did not do is real security proofs. So looking at Neisel's paper, I mean, he needs distortion maps and God knows what. We haven't gone through that. So it might be that either the security proofs are not fixable or the protocol has to be tweaked a bit to be able to apply this case. So random sampling, and if you need that you really reach exactly the group order, that's not done by us. What we did is we looked at, okay, do we reach enough classes? Is it enough to have a hash function mapping there and such considerations? Last item is parameter choices. So if it's, let me go back one slide. If we're okay and we don't break down in the later steps of the security proof, which is not really our business, then we would only evaluate at one point instead of two G points. And with this one point, we can play all the tricks as with elliptic curves, choose just one coordinate and do the tweaking, the point minus other point, so that the point is in a subfield. So we can get all the speed ups with elliptic curves. And so in the end, instead of having G points, we have just one point. So we have found something where the speed up increases with the genus. So far, it was, okay, we have hyperelliptic curves, we have elliptic curves. And elliptic curves, hyperelliptic curves striving to reach the same performance on the same task. Now we found something where it grows with the genus, it gets faster with the genus. Before we tried to, or we hoped for break even or slight advantages. Now we have something which could be faster. What does it mean? That means we can afford a larger field for the same, so maybe larger security for the same speed. And for instance, if we have a speed up of factor 4 for a genus 4, then okay, we have a reduced security, even say without Nicolas talk, without knowing that the constants are too large. If I just go for the big O, then I have a reduced security here, which means that I have to choose my finite field for the hyperelliptic curve larger than to just achieve, say, 160 bits. On the other hand, well, I always do an embedding into a finite field. And there I have the DLP, and the embedding degree just grows gigantically. And seeing that I get a factor of 4 speed up, it might be tempting to look at genus 4 curves. And so I've just been writing down some parameter choices. This is before. I couldn't update it this morning according to the index calculus talk, finite fields. So maybe that is a trouble because here we have a larger K, and we've seen that large Ks are problematic, particularly in connection with sparse primes. Okay, so there are some things to be looked at. And so I've got a list of wanted. So, well, now that we've seen that Montgomery analogues for genus 2 gave you a lot, it would be interesting to look at genus 3. So there were some estimates by Pierrick, which don't look so great as for genus 2, but it might be interesting to look at this. And then, well, hyperelliptic M&T curves. I mean, many people are trying to do it, and so far I haven't seen a family. It would be nice, because then we would have something to play with. Finally, something where it would be worth working with these degenerate devices, because otherwise distortion maps are just faster. And then, yeah, what happens with the security analysis on the protocol side, and also what happens in the genus 4 case? So after this conference, one could just sit down and take Nicolas' talk and take Oliver's talk and put them together and find out how wrong I was with my parameter choices. And, well, point counting. We need point counting to have the fight really become fair. Now we could convince people to use hyperelliptic curves from the speed perspective. Now we have to convince them from the security perspective. And last wanted, lunch. Thank you.
Any questions for the speaker? I guess I have a little question and a big question. The one was for the N multiplication you were saying for degree 1 and degree 2, was that for special curves or?
Help me, which 10?
That was saying you have a 1 point with a single point, another with 2 points.
This is addition, and in addition you don't see the curve coefficients.
Okay.
So this is a generic curve addition, but we don't see the polynomial in there. So I don't think it will bring anything.
I guess the big question was, should we be having conferences on hyperelliptic curve photography? Okay, that's enough. Any other questions?
What's the referee's call?
Oh, unanimous.